more towards the beginning of Perek Chaf Zayin. And we quoted a long Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, where the good to see you, Rabbi Yaakov. Where the Gemara introduced us to the calendar of how the Torah was given. A machlokus between the Rabbanon, who said that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, and Rabbi Yossi, who said it was given on the 7th of Sivan. And then the Gemara said everyone agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos, that was the day of the week, and it's just a question of what day was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Was Rosh Chodesh Sivan on a Sunday? That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Or was Rosh Chodesh Sivan on a Monday? And that is the opinion of the Rabbanon. Okay. And then the Gemara told us that at least according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, added on a day of preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, namely that the 4th, 5th, and they prepared themselves to receive the Torah. And that was an innovation of Moshe Rabbeinu that he added that additional day of preparation. Okay. So now the Gemara, the Maharal says, in expounding that Gemara, Va'al yakshe lecha. I don't understand, says the Maharal. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe to keep an additional day of preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, of separating the men and the women, so then why didn't Hashem command him directly? And what is the nature of a creation of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was Hosif Yom Echad Midaito, he added a day on his own, and Hashem agreed to it. How do we understand such a concept? We spoke a little bit last time about the way that the Chachamim interpret Torah, and that's still considered Torah, versus rabbinic innovations. So what exactly is this thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did, since he seems to base himself on a pasuk? Ki davar zeh lo kasha. This itself is not a question. Ki hefrish yesh bein hadvarim shenitztava Moshe mipi Hashem Yisbarach. Because there is a very clear difference between things that Moshe was commanded by Hashem, uvein elu dvarim shehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al yado, as opposed to these things which Moshe initiated and Hashem put his stamp of approval upon it. Kishar dvarim heim ba'im min Hashem Yisbarach b'koach gezeira shenitztave alav b'tzivoy, because typically a mitzvah is something that Hashem has commanded, that Hashem has decreed, and the nature of one who decrees, as we learned way back in the earlier chapters, that mitzvos are gezeros, way back in Parak Vav, that mitzvos are decrees. And the difference is that when Hashem decrees something, so then there's a no-sein, there's one who's giving, there's one who's decreeing, there's one who's imposing, and therefore it's obligatory. When Moshe Rabbeinu discovers this idea on his own, and Hashem puts a stamp of approval upon it, it means that it's valuable for us from the perspective of the Makabel, it's valuable for us to do it, but it's not something that has to be done. Okay, so let's see. So when Hashem commands a mitzvah, it's a gezeira, it's a tzivoy, it's a command, it's obligatory. Aval elu dvarim lo ba'u mitzad ha-gezeira, but these things that Moshe, again, invented, so to speak, on his own, were not mandated initially by Hashem. Raksha ha-yamaskim lomar, rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his approval, sheyafehu, that these things are in fact good or desirable, v'royhu lasos, and it's beneficial to do, ve'ein ze gezeira. But Hashem didn't force it upon Moshe Rabbeinu or upon Klal Yisrael. It's not a decree from on high. It's a desirable thing that Hashem approved after the fact. U'me'ata shehiskim Hashem Yisbarach Moshe, and now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted permission to Moshe to do these things, to innovate these things, hareihem divrei Hashem kamo shar haTorah, which is very interesting. Once Hashem puts his stamp of approval upon it, so then it is the word of Hashem like Torah. Yet it's not obligatory. So that distinction is a complicated one that we have to work through, and it could be the Maharal elsewhere understands it a little bit differently. Okay, but we'll delve deeper into it as we go. Now, Ibn Ezra, Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, argues on the Gemara. What does that mean to argue on the Gemara? How does one argue on the Gemara? So we know from the Ibn Ezra's commentary in many places, he will often interpret the psukim, the pshat of the psukim, not necessarily in accordance with the rabbinic tradition. That may seem controversial, and maybe it is, but that's what Ibn Ezra does. So Ibn Ezra looks at the Psukim and says, I want to prove that in fact Moshe did not add anything, that it was always part of the plan that there should be 3 days of preparation, albeit not three complete days, which is, we worked that out last time. Right? It was a partial day and then two fuller days. So the Ibn Ezra says, Rabbi Avram ben Ezra, Hotzi Mikiso, he drew out of his pocket, Shnei Edim Ne'emanim Laheid Lo, Ki Lo Hosif Moshe Yom Echad. He wants to argue, based on two other textual sources in Torah, that Moshe didn't add anything. Moshe didn't add anything. And the reason the Ibn Ezra is explaining in this way, as we'll see, may not really be addressing what the Gemara itself said. So let's see. What are his two proofs? And how is it relevant to us? Well, here's what he says. On the one hand, let me just introduce it. Right? We have a pasuk that says, Heyei nuchonim lishloshes yamim. That means you should be prepared. Lishloshes yamim sounds like you need 3 days. And you have another pasuk that says what? The Jewish people are told to be ready li yom hashlishi, on the third day. So is it 3 days and then an additional day? Right? Is it 3 days of preparation and then the next day you get the Torah? Or is it no, on the third day from now you get the Torah? So the Ibn Ezra says those two phrases, shloshes yamim and li yom hashlishi, are not contradictory. And here's his proof, or here is two proofs. Behavi, he brings one proof from Bereishis Perek Mem Beis, Ve'yesof osam el mishmar shloshes yamim, that Yosef put his brother in jail for 3 days, the shloshes yamim, and then the pasuk says Vayomer lahem, and he said to them Bayom hashlishi, and he said to them on the third day. So was it 3 days and then he dealt with them, or was it on the third day? So you see apparently that shloshes yamim and yom hashlishi can be used interchangeably. Similarly, a second proof, Va'ed Hasheni, a second proof, Bereishis Perek Mem, Be'od Shloshes Yamim Yisa Paro Es Roshcha. In another three days, Paro will raise up your head. And then the Pasuk says, Vayhi B'yom HaShlishi, and it was on the third day that it was Paro's party, and Paro started to deal with his prisoners. So is it after 3 days, or it's on the third day? So says the Ibn Ezra, the fact that our psukim as well, by Kabbalah Satorah, speak in terms of Shloshes Yamim and Yom HaShlishi, it's not a contradiction at all. And these are the Edim Ne'emanim, these are the clear proofs that the Ibn Ezra offers to argue that, in fact, Hashem intended for there to be 3 days. But says the Maharal, I'm not sure why he's expounding these psukim. We've seen his proofs, we've heard his testimony. Right? But he's arguing the wrong point, is essentially what he's saying. Right? He's debating himself. Why? Because Chazal were not struggling with how to interpret the pasuk that says Shloshes Yamim versus Yom HaShlishi. That was never the struggle. That was not the Gemara's proof. Ki Chazal me'olam lo heviu ra'im imad dichsiv heyu nachonim lishloshes yamim. Chazal did not bring the verse that says prepare yourself lishloshes yamim. Devadei ein hefresh bein yom hashlishi o shloshes yamim kamosh amarhu. Ibn Ezra is correct that shloshes yamim and yom hashlishi are in fact interchangeable, but that was not the Gemara's proof. Ve'i lo haya ra'ya zos lahem lo haya omim ki Moshe darash hayomu machar. If that was the proof, then the Gemara would not have brought the different proof, which is that Moshe's drasha had nothing to do with Yom HaShlishi versus Shloshes Yamim. It had to do with these two words, Kidesh Hayom Umachar, sanctify today and tomorrow. And that's where Moshe Rabbeinu said, well, today was only a partial day, tomorrow is a full day, so it must be that today should be like tomorrow, just like tomorrow is a full day. Apparently I need 2 full days in addition to today's partial day. That's where Moshe came up with the additional day. Rakidaitam alpi kabalasam v'chachmasam. It must be that Chazal had such a tradition. Shehosif yom echem midaito. Chazal had a tradition to learn the pasuk this way, that Moshe added a day. But again, it had nothing to do with the two phrases of shloshes yamim versus yom hashlishi. It was Moshe's drasha on Hayom u'Machar, that Hayom should be like Machar. Just like Machar, tomorrow, is a full day, so too Hayom should be in fact a full day. Okay, fine. Now the Maharal gets into something very, very interesting. The Maharal says, let's think about Kabbalah Satorah and let's think about Nesina Satorah. Maybe two different things. Kfar
Hizbar Lecha. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, Rabbi Yossi, sure, go ahead.
So before, when he said that it's just something that Moshe came up with,
right?
Maharal says it's just something Moshe came up with, so therefore it's not obligatory, right? How does that jive with Lotasur? It sounds like he's saying that if something comes out of a limud, then that falls under Lotasur. But if it's just something that Moshe came up with that Hashem agreed with, that's not Lotasur.
Right. It's very confusing because, again, he told us last time, he said, you know, we have what's called Divrei Sofrim, right? We have this term Divrei Sofrim. What is this term Divrei Sofrim? The fact that our sages were able to interpret the Torah, and to fact, you know, sometimes we take Divrei Sofrim more seriously. You brought the Mishnah that Divrei Sofrim is sometimes taken even more seriously than Mitzvah Torah. And the example of Divrei Sofrim is the rabbis explaining the Pesukim Torah versus what is obviously written in the Torah. Right? It's not, there's something called Dirabanan, there's something called Divrei Chachamim, but then there's something called Divrei Sofrim. So we've created the kind of this category of things that the rabbis interpret, but is really still Torah law. Now he told us there's this category where Moshe Rabbeinu came up with something, and Hashem puts a stamp of approval on it, which also gives it sort of the status of Torah law. It's not a din derabanan, right? Moshe's, but it's from mitzad hamakabel as opposed to the nosin. Now, when we see this next paragraph about Nesina Satorah versus Kabbalah Satorah, it'll help us to better understand this idea, right? Because there's Torah as given to us by Hashem, what we would call a gezerah, what we would call a tzivoy, a command, that which is mechuyav or mechuyavis, right? That which is absolutely obligatory. And then there are other things, and it's a unique category where Moshe suggests something and Hashem approves it, so it has Torah status, but it's not part of the Torah, but in some ways it's where we meet Hashem, where we meet Hashem in creating Torah together. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see exactly how this works. But you're right, meaning what is, you know, we have the Torah principle of Lo Sasser, to listen to the rabbis, but that means listen to the rabbis. That means the innovations of the rabbis. That means the principles of the rabbis, right? Connected to that also is to listen to their interpretations of the Torah. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see if we can make it a little bit more clear. But I think once we understand what he's about to introduce, which is Nesina Satorah versus Kabbalah Satorah, it'll become a little bit more clear. Because there's Hashem giving the Torah to us, and then there's us receiving the Torah. And they may not meet up perfectly. Because what Hashem, meaning, let's say it like this, the way that God understands the Torah is not the way that we understand the Torah. Right. I just mentioned between Mincha and Maariv this evening an amazing passage in the Zohar from last week's Parsha, Parsha's Balosha, where the Zohar says that Rabbi Elazar was walking one time with some of his contemporaries, and they came to the spot where the Teva rested, on Hare Ararat. And he said, why does the Torah need to tell us exactly when the Teva rested and exactly where it rested, if it's on this mountain or if it's on that mountain? Who cares? And he says that all of the details of the Torah are filled with secrets. And there'd be no other explanation. He gives the Zohar says, does Hashem have nothing better to write than to record these strange historical details about Esav and Yishmael and Bilam and his donkey? Right? Why do we need to know these things in such great detail? Why do I need to know the names of the places? The Jews went here, the Jews went there. It must be that the whole thing is filled with secrets and we just don't understand it. So, you know, we have to remind ourselves that there's the Nesina Satorah, there's the Torah that God gave us from his perspective. And then there's also Kabbalah Satorah. How much are we able to actually receive it? And we'll see that may correspond in some way to kind of 2 days of Kabbalah Satorah. Okay? But let's see. Let's read a little bit more inside. Let's see if we can make some more sense of it. Kvar izbar lecha ki hayu hayamim mis'alim madrega acher madrega ad yom chamishim. We explained a couple of prakim ago the concept of the Torah being given on the 50th day, the concept of 50. 50 represents something which is nivdal, which is beyond. Right? No man is able to understand the Shar HaChamishim. The Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu, he understood 49 levels of understanding. He couldn't get to level 50. So level 50 represents something transcendent. Right? 50 is Yovel. There's a certain chayrus, a relinquishing of rights, something beyond our human capacity to control the situation. That's what 50 represents. So 50, therefore, is roi el haTorah. It's very fitting for Torah, because Torah is very transcendent. Torah is very distinct from our human experience, from our human understanding. Amnam davar zehu sheyom chamishim roi el haTorah, hu mitzad Hashem yisparach, asher hu hanosin. But when we talk about day 50 being the day of Torah, that's from Hashem's perspective. That's the concept of that which is beyond us. And the Torah, even after it's given to us, remains beyond us. That's from the perspective of the Nosein, of the giver of the Torah. Aval kabbalas haTorah, but the receiving of the Torah, shu makabel osa makabel hu achar kach. It's really on day 51 that we're able to makabel the Torah. The fullness of what Hashem offered us on day 50 is beyond us. We can't grasp the whole thing. We can get, in some measure, lefi madrega seinu, according to our level, on day 51. Vitzarech yom bifnei atzmo el kabbalas haTorah. Now again, that's a fascinating idea, especially if you think about it in, I guess, in an Eretz Yisrael way and in a Chutz La'aretz way. If you have one day of Shavuos, so that means, in a certain sense, there's the giving of the Torah on Shavuos, and then the next day, when life goes back to, you know, the regular ebb and flow of life, that's when we're able to see how much were we able to makabel, how much of it are we able to apply to our daily lives, right? And if, I guess, you're a Chutz La'aretz Jew, as the second day of Shavuos, so again, also something to think about, this distinction between the 2 days. The first day representing Hashem offering the Torah, giving the Torah, the second day representing how much can we actually, again, grasp of the Torah. Very fascinating idea. Nesinas haTorah versus Kabbalas haTorah. We sometimes use the terms interchangeably, and maybe that's a mistake. V'lakach lo haya yom Kabbalas haTorah b'yom chamishim. The Kabbalas, again, you have to read the words carefully. Kabbalas haTorah was not on day 50. Rak b'yom chamishim v'echad. It was on day 51. Mashal l'melech shenisratza l'seis matana l'ovav. Let's compare it, says the Maharal, to a king who wants to give a gift to his beloved companion. Haritzoi hazeh huzman b'fnei atzmo. The desire to give it. See, when two humans, you know, exchange something, so there's a level of shava b'shava, right? We're on the same level, on a certain, right? At least we're in the same domain, right? We're both humans, and therefore there can be the giving and the receiving can somehow meet up with each other. But what happens when a gift is being given to you by God? What happens in our mashal when the melech is giving a gift to the commoner? So the feelings of the melech and the receiving of the commoner, there's some gap between them. So the king has a desire to give a gift to someone who he loves. So the ritzoy, that feeling, that expression of what the king is trying to express by giving the gift, right, is going to be different than what the person receives. This king might be expressing something emotional, and the person might just be receiving a physical object. Right? And that matana is being received by the ohev, who's man b'fnei atzmo. And the reception of that gift is sort of its own thing. Again, if we were talking about humans, the Maharal really elaborates on this. In the footnotes here, points out that in chapter 43, the Maharal elaborates on this point, that when human beings are on the same madrega, are able to exchange things one with the other, there's a certain equality that they share. But when Hashem Yisbarach is giving the Torah to the Jewish people, God in the heavens and the Jewish people on the earth, so there has to be some gap that sort of exists between them. And that's day 50 as the giving, and day 51 as the receiving. Ulefichach, af beyom chamishim, hu yom sheroi el haTorah. And therefore, day 50 is the day that's fitting for Torah because it's such a transcendent day, the concept of 50. Mikol makom, tzarich od yom echad, el hagas haTorah el makavel. But we need an additional day for the Torah to actually be absorbed, to be received by the receiver. Shu davar bifnei atzmo, which in a certain sense is really its own thing. And again, he points out here in the footnote, something that I haven't had a chance to look into, but apparently the Maharal and the Netzach Yisrael perhaps makes this point as well with regard to Torah, the Jewish people, and God. There's Torah as Hashem sees Torah. There's Torah as we receive Torah. There's Yisrael, there's the concept of the Jewish people, the way Hashem sees us, and there's the way that we function as a nation from a more human Olam Hazeh perspective, feet on the ground perspective. Then there's Kudshu Brichu, there's God as his essence, and there's God as manifest and understood by us. So there's this gap that exists between the nosein and the makabel, the one who is giving and the one who is receiving. Now, I know it's a little bit late, but I really want to just do one more little part. The next paragraph, he explains a little bit the mathematical equations. I'm just going to skip it for the moment. Maybe we'll come back to it. But I really want to, let's jump to just a couple of lines. Ubein l'rabbanon ubein l'rabbiyosi kabbalas haTorah b'yom haShabbos. He works out just again the math of day 50 versus 51. The Gemara says that we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday. And the Gemara says that if you need that extra day, so you have to say that the month of Iyar was a full month that year. Iyar was 30 days. And Rosh Chodesh was the following day. Okay, he's working it out, though, just to show that Bein L'Rabbanan, Bein L'Rabbiosi, everyone agrees that there was something that happened on day 51 as well. And again, that's that gap between the giving of the Torah and the receiving of the Torah. But let's do one more point about Shabbos. It's just beautiful. Again, everyone agrees the Torah was given on the day of the week known as Shabbos. Why? So he says, and it'll be mechazik as in Torah, it'll be mechazik as in Shabbos. V'zeh mipnei ki ha-kabbalah yoseh ru'uya b'yom ha-shabbos. How fitting it is that the Torah should be given on Shabbos. Why? V'zeh mipnei shehu yom shebo bo ha-bracha mi'alyonim l'tachtonim. Because Shabbos is the day where the great bracha from on high descends upon this world. Right, Shabbos is all—it's a big bracha that just lands upon our time, upon our space, upon our human experience. D'chsiv ayevarich Elokim es Yom Hashvi. Shabbos is the most blessed of days. Hare Yom Hashvi muchan shetavo habracha mi'alyonim v'tachtonim. If that's the very nature of Shabbos from creation, that it's the day that blessing descends from on high to this world, so of course that's the day the Torah is going to be given. How could it not be? If this is the day that the bracha comes, again, Hare Yom Shvi Muchan Shetavo HaBracha Me'alyonim L'Tachtonim U'mipnei Zehu Muchan Shetavo HaTorah Me'alyonim L'Tachtonim Gamkin. So therefore Torah, which is the ultimate bracha descending from on high, has to be given on the day where the ultimate bracha descends from on high. She'ein Lecha Yoser Min HaTorah Shekula Bracha. Because there's nothing that is more blessed than the gift of Torah. And there's no day that is as blessed as Shabbos, where again that bracha descends from on high. It's a miyuchad day to receive that bracha, that bracha should be given again to the tachtonim. And finally, and furthermore, and just like Torah we explained as being a transcendent experience, it's detached from physicality. It's elevated beyond the human experience. So too, Shabbos is a day where we transcend our physicality. Yes, we eat, we sleep, etc., but it's a spiritual experience. But Masha ein bo malacha. On Shabbos, we don't work. We don't engage in 39 malachos. Kamo she'zbar lamala, as we alluded to earlier. Although he points out in the footnote that I don't think we actually mentioned that earlier. U'lefichach roi shetinasin bo haTorah. So therefore, Shabbos is a perfectly appropriate day to give the Torah. Shehi seichel gamor. Because the Torah is, again, pure spirituality, mufshat min hagashmi, detached from physicality in its lower sense, umikol shekein, ki yom Shabbos hu ashlamas haolam, just like Shabbos was the finishing touches of creation, so too, nisinas haTorah laolam hu ashlamas haolam, so too the giving of the Torah to the world is also the completion of the world. So Shabbos and Torah are the best of friends, and that's why, again, Chazal in so many places emphasize that the whole reason God gave us Shabbos is really that it should be a Torah-filled day, to use the day and to deepen our connections to Torah and to spirituality, and to really elevate all of physicality. Okay, so let's stop here. We'll finish the Parak Amir Tzashem next time on Sunday night, God willing. And then maybe we'll do one more perek before we call it quits for now. But Baruch Hashem, we've learned a lot from our Rebbe the Maharal today. Oh, okay.